Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together. Get ready for an inspiring journey as we dive into the incredible story of Kalina, a deaf coach, advocate, best-selling author, and passionate entrepreneur. Despite losing 100% of her hearing at the age of 4, Kalina has overcome challenges, earning a bachelor's degree in psychology and a postgraduate certification in mental health and addiction. Today, she's on a mission to empower young adults with disabilities, all while educating the world about the deaf community. Join us as we explore Kalina's journey of resilience, achievement, and the power of pursuing dreams against all odds. This is a story you don't want to miss. Thank you so much, Kalina, for being here today. It is such a pleasure to have you. And you have gone through so much in your life and you've accomplished so much. But I want to start with the age of 4, what happened and how you moved forward from age of 4.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. Oh my God, so many things happened at the age of 4. Honestly, for those who are listening, you're probably going to be shocked. So be ready. So I would say is I actually became deaf at the age of 4 due to an ear infection. However, many of you question, okay, what happened? So what happened was I actually had an ear drop that was prescribed by my family doctor. My mom gave it to the staff member in the daycare, told them the infection. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they put it in the wrong time or they put too much in both ears. So people are probably wondering, are you deaf in both ears? And I said, yes, I am. So that's what causes me to be deaf at the age of 4. There was a lot of struggles that I faced, especially as a young girl who don't know how to speak. Because at 4 years old, you learn how to talk. So you don't know how to express yourself the right way, how you were hoping your parents would understand how you're feeling. So that was definitely the struggle.
Oh, I can't even imagine what you were going through, what your family was going through, and just what was that experience like once you like had that experience? Because I'm sure that's shocking. I have no idea what that feels like. But from your experience, what did it look like after the age of 4 moving forward?
It was very difficult to navigate both the hearing world and the deaf community because I actually went to a deaf school in the morning and the afternoon I would go to the hearing school. The reason for that is because my family wanted me to learn how to communicate in two different communities, especially for me to learn how to be independent. My family is very, very big on independence thing. And so, but because I had someone who has a disability, they know that they've seen, they witnessed a lot of other disability person, but also too, because I am the first person in my family that is deaf. They didn't know how to communicate with me at all. They weren't sure if they should communicate me through ASL, for those who don't know, it's American Sign Language, and as well speaking. They wasn't sure which one am I more better communicating with. So what happened was I ended up, you know, continue going to the deaf and hearing school. I also had a speech therapist to help me speak. For some of you probably like, wow, you speak very well for yourself. And I said, well, because I had a speech therapist from the age of 4 to I was in high school. So I had a speech therapist for a very, very long time. And also, for those who are probably wondering, how was it like picking your hearing aid? So I would say it was very difficult for me to actually program the hearing in my ear. I actually hear things very different from when I was 4 years old to when I became deaf. Things are not the same anymore. It's very different. Like, I hear completely different versus before I became deaf.
Wow. No, it's just, it's so fascinating what you've had to overcome, the adversity and everything else in order to move through the world and function to day to day. But I love the fact that your parents allowed you to still go to the deaf school in the morning and then regular school in the afternoon to really have that exposure. And I think it's so important to realize not everyone is the same. Everybody has different things. But I know you're such an advocate for individuals that cannot hear, that are deaf. What inspired that process from going into high school and then out of high school? I know you've graduated from college, you have all these certifications, you've done so much. I could read out the list, but we won't go there yet.
Realistically, it was hard. I always tell people life is not easy, especially when a disability comes out of nowhere. And also too, because for me, like I had a really, really good, strong support system with my family and friends. I had a lot of family and friends who advocate for me. It all started, honestly, when I used to work at a big park called Canada's Wonderland. A little boy approached me because I had my hair in a ponytail and he was deaf. And he came to me, he's like, Miss, I have hearing aid too. His mom, she almost cried because she never met a deaf person that interacted in the hearing community. It's very rare to see a deaf individual in the hearing community just like that. And that's when I knew it's time for me to get myself out there and advocate for the deaf community to show that reputation for the younger generation to let them know that if I can do it, you can do it too.
So inspiring what you've been able to accomplish, but you're really helping so many people in the community that really need to see you standing up, talking about it, being a voice that maybe not everyone has or saw growing up as well. Because your experience growing up, were you surrounded? I know you had the different schools, but did you see anybody else advocating?
For myself, it was only my family that was advocating for me in the hearing school.
Yeah.
But if I seen someone around my age, no, because I feel like everybody was so like bothered by the bully, don't know how to stand up for themselves. So it's very hard to really see that. And I didn't really have that role model daily basis, unfortunately. Had I
Sure.
worked, like for example, watching TV, had a young girl, you don't see a deaf person. So it's very unfortunate that there's not a lot of reputation. I don't see a lot of advocacy. So.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I know there was a show, Switched at Birth.
Yeah.
That's like the first one I've ever seen. I don't know if you've seen it or have.
Yes, I love that show so much. I love it.
It's such a good show. I was like, I want to learn sign language because this show like just inspired me to learn. I didn't learn, but I think it's just
It's okay.
it's important representation. And even having you on today, it's very important to me to just have that inclusivity and understanding it. And I know you are Amazon bestseller of the book Every Day I'm Just Deaf. Can you share what that process was like, what the book's about, so that people that don't know what it's about, they can now know?
Definitely. So very funny, everyone. I literally wrote that book between 2 to 3 months. The only reason why I was able to finish it was because it was during COVID. So I actually wrote my book during COVID. I was so bored. Like I was very, very bored. It was so funny because I remember my mom came in my room and she's like, "Oh, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm writing my book." And she's like, "Book?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I'm just writing and typing." So I didn't know what to expect. And that's when I asked other authors around me, and I asked them, how do you find an editor? How do you publish it? A lot of people referred me to a lot of other people as well. And a lot of people said, you're better off doing self-publish because you learn as an entrepreneur versus having someone to do it for you. I do a lot of research on YouTube, figuring out how to work Amazon, what print it is. It was crazy. And I finally met someone who was offering their services for free. Like, oh, I just want to show you how to do it. And I said, oh my God, yes, please, I'm struggling. It was just amazing. And I had a great editor. I obviously paid for it. But just amazing experience. It's very smooth. It wasn't complicated because I did a lot of obviously networking. I did. And however, moving forward, I actually use my network to get my book out there as well. I joined a lot of Facebook groups, networking with people in the Facebook group. It's very cool. I had no expectation with my book whatsoever. I was just like, you know what, this is an activity for me. So I didn't really think too much about it. But anyway, so what my book is about, it's about me being deaf daily basic to give you an idea of what it's like to be deaf daily basic. How do I navigate the world in a hearing community? What do I use to communicate with the hand pregnant. And secondly, I do talk about school, relationship, friendship, and education. It's a very poetry book. It's very short, easy to read, not complicated. I want it super short and easy because for myself, I wanted this book to touch so much people. I don't want it to be complicated. And thirdly, the reason I wrote this book is because I realized that there's not a lot of deaf authors out there. 90% of the time, when I ask someone, especially who's hearing, they never read a book by a deaf person. And I was like, wait, what? I'm like, no, this is 2024. And they all said to me, Kalina, if you write a book, you're my first deaf author. I was like, oh my God, okay. And it was just motivating me even more to get this book done very quick and smooth and faster. So that's why I wrote this book, just to really continue to find the younger generation and also let the hearing community know what our struggles are.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to be able, from a deaf person, being able to just your everyday life and to bring awareness to things, because at the end of the day, we're all human. How we move through the world might be very different, but I think it's just giving context to something. And like a lot of people said, I've never read a book by somebody who is deaf that has written a book. And it's amazing being able to put that out there and just bring more inclusivity to it and understanding that you're not alone and helping so many people that might be struggling right now and their families might not know how to navigate it. There's a lot more resources nowadays than maybe 10, 15 years ago, but still it's being able to have that key awareness of where people are going. And I think it's phenomenal that you just are like, I'm bored. It's COVID. Let's go.
Literally.
That's a part of it, right? That's part of just being able to use our creativity and be able to be an advocate. And now I know you coach individuals as well. What does that look like for you and the people that you do coach?
So for me, I do one-on-one coaching. I don't do group coaching. People always ask me that. No, I do not. For me, what I do, I coach people from age of 15 to 30 years old or 35 years old. I help people to overcome their anxiety, depression, self-esteem. What I do is I do a worksheet with them. We develop a development plan. How can we meet the end goal? What is our end goal? How can I improve the performance and the within the next 3 weeks while I'm working with them?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. And a lot of people want to know, why don't you do group coaching? But I get it. It's that community that you're building one-on-one first and foremost to be able to help them. And I think a lot of people do struggle with, how do I navigate through this world? And when you have a disability, but making that your superpower, just like you have done. And how do you think you really stepped into using your disability as a superpower that it is?
For me, honestly, for my superpower, I'm a cute lip reader. So I think that's my superpower. And I use that to inspire people that if you're struggling, can you imagine what I've been through? Daily basic. Mm-hmm. And I look at that way and I show people that example. And they're like, I should be grateful more for my life. And I always remind people, yeah, because I go through 10 times more than anybody else that I meet, right? Some people don't realize that I'm tired every day because I have to lip read consistently in order for me to communicate with someone. So that is my superpower. And I will tell people that's my superpower.
And speaking of just the superpower, so like all the energy that's being exerted by reading lips all day, every day, what do you do for self-care?
So every Sunday, I make that a priority. Okay, everyone, I make that a priority. I make sure that I go get my nails done, my hair done, consistently every Sunday. I just feel like, because you can turn off your phone, right? When you get your nails done and your toes done, it's by force. Like, you cannot be on your phone. So I love that, like, oh, I can't be on my phone. The guy's doing my nails. The girl's doing my nails. So it's by force. So I love that energy in the nail salon where it forced you to get off your phone. I feel like I need that, like, once a week at least.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it, right? Just being able to shut off, having that space to regroup, especially it's just all the energy we exert on an everyday basis, just being a human, right?
Exactly.
But then there's other layers to it as well. And just even with some of the obstacles you've had to endure, I know a lot of it has to do with just learning language again and all the things that you had to overcome. What has been some of the obstacles in building your business?
I would say the obstacle was trying to network. I feel like a lot of us don't know how to network the first stage of building a company, right? Some of us
Right.
don't know how to talk to people. And
Yeah.
I didn't even know, I me personally, when I tell, oh my God, I missed though, but I didn't even know how important, if you have to dress up and you have to look a certain way, you got to talk a certain way. And it was just like, I don't know. Like, no one taught me. So it just, I had no idea what to do. And I feel like networking is the very, very first obstacle because people don't understand how valuable it is to network and also collaboration. A lot of people don't understand the two terms, networking, collaboration. Those are the top two that I did struggle a lot because I didn't understand how valuable it was until I started my journey, like a little bit more. So that was the obstacle I faced a lot. Like, I didn't know, but again, I was a little nervous because obviously they probably never met a deaf person, right? So that was something that was kind of stopping me a little bit from moving forward because I was like, oh no, what if they're not going to support me because I am, deaf and hard of hearing? What if they can't support because they don't know anything about the deaf community, right? So that was the obstacle I had. That's why I was stuck with collaboration. I was stuck with networking. I didn't know. So that was the obstacle I faced.
Oh, that's a really good point because I feel like networking, that's something I love, I enjoy. And in the beginning, it can be difficult of how do you navigate it. Then you add the extra layer as well of like, how do you communicate? And so
Exactly.
when you did start to communicate and you did figure out, okay, the best action for networking for you, what did that look like? So somebody who might be struggling in similar capacities can learn from you.
I would say the first thing for networking, if you're really nervous to meet someone face to face, I highly suggest you to join a networking in a Zoom platform. Because I feel like with Zoom, it's less triggering than face to face. So I feel like that's one, you can definitely do that. Number two, always ask yourself, what is the purpose? Why am I networking? What am I using this for? Always ask yourself all these questions because once you have that mindset before you go into the networking room, you're gonna have a better reputation and better value in yourself when you before you walk in. Cause then people be like, oh wow, okay, she knows what she wants, this is what she's looking for, and boom. And that's it. It's really about your mindset, how you see yourself and how you represent yourself.
Absolutely. It's funny because a lot of the networking events I go to, like it's morphed over time, but when you have a clear goal in mind of, okay, I want to connect with five people of this like industry or that industry, and I want it because I want to be able to collaborate for this upcoming event. Like having that exact idea, it honestly has gained so much business, but I've met so many incredible individuals because of it. And you're absolutely right. I think that's the most important is I always believe it's the connection first, then business. And I feel like
Exactly.
you're similar because,
100%. That I always tell people that people just go straight to the business. I'm like, no, you're doing it wrong.
it's you're building a relationship. And I mean, my background's marriage and family therapy, and relationship based is just how my brain functions because I want to get to know someone. And once you know someone, it's so much easier to do business because it's not always about business. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's you get to know somebody and then you're like, oh, this person knows this person, or this person needs somebody of this caliber or this background. Let me connect them. And I think that's a beautiful thing of networking is just getting to know people. And it's good to have an agenda of like what you're trying to get out there versus like an agenda of like, I want business.
I agree.
Struggle sometimes. No, but I appreciate you sharing that because I don't think we talk about that enough of how it can be uncomfortable, especially maybe if you're more introverted versus extroverted. That can be really challenging. Well, I'm like an introvert, extrovert. It depends on the situation. But I was just having a call earlier this morning about this where I'm like, I want to reach those people that are like terrified to talk to people, but like knowing, okay, if I talk to one or two people, I'm good. And just like knowing where
Exactly.
energy. Absolutely. But even all the obstacles you've had to overcome, I know you've had so much success, especially working with individuals in the deaf community, advocating for them, anybody with a disability. What has been a client success story or two, if you could share with us? I know you have a lot, but just one or two.
I will give you one main one. Success is being able to fly out of the country to speak into the deaf school. That was one of my success, and I was able to speak with the students, all ages, all grades, actually, every single one grade, and I'm able to make an impact on them and seeing their face melt while reading my book. And they're like, This is my voice, Kalina. This is amazing. And that melts my heart because I'm able to help someone that I don't even know.
I'm just like taking it all in because that's amazing. And I know you're only just beginning. I feel like there are so many decades ahead of you to be able to help so many more people. And I just appreciate you sharing that story because it's one person can have such an impact. And that's exactly what you're doing for these communities that don't have that representation as clearly as maybe other groups and whatnot. And I think that's really, it's important to me to highlight it, but I think it's important for others to hear that if you have a goal, you can achieve it, and just putting yourself out there because it came from something that was a huge obstacle that you had to overcome. But now it is one of your superpowers. You have a lot, but one of them, being able to make that influence and make that positive impact for so many families that get to hear you speak, get to read your book, and just have the understanding, you know?
Exactly.
And through all of the ups and downs, all the successes, I'm just curious, what are your future aspirations or goals for where you are headed? Even though you've already accomplished a lot, but the next like year or so.
Okay, everyone, I don't even know where to see myself in the future because there's so many things that I really want to do, but I know I have to break it down. The first thing is I do want to make it to different and the audiologist office space to practice, just because there's a lot of gap between a deaf client versus audiologist. There's a little bit of gap. I do want to improve their industry just to help them to understand how they can better communicate with the deaf individual. That's one of them. Number two, continue writing books. I want to start writing my children's books this year. I'm so excited. And second, thirdly, I do want to continue doing more book collaboration with other people, especially in the disability community, so I can help them get out there for the hearing community and even those who are not disabled themselves. So that's really what my goals are for this year.
Oh, I love it. So many exciting things planned. And I know a lot of times we see things on Google or YouTube or social media where it's very obvious of how somebody's built a business. But a lot of times on the back end, there's a lot of tools that help grow a business. What are some of the tools that you've used to help grow yours?
For me, I actually was nervous to do this. I was super nervous to hire a virtual assistant. I was not sure how great it was because I was a little afraid of the price. I know some VAs are very expensive, but I didn't realize how important it is to give someone your task so that you can also focus on something else. And so I realized that a lot of time when we are, especially beginning, we put so much energy, so much effort in our business, but sometimes we cannot take a step back and actually think about what is really helping my business to grow versus what's really my business stuck on. So that's why I learned and realized when I hire a virtual assistant, I can see my business more clear. And that's when I realized, maybe I can hire two. That's to help me a little bit. And
Absolutely.
then because I realized that now, especially now that I'm getting a little bit more, I wouldn't say more visual now that a lot of people have seen who I am. What I do now is I'm getting overwhelmed a little bit, right? So now I'm just like, okay, you know what? I've hired two assistants and I realize to continue networking. That's number two. And so a lot of time networking, I know a lot of people are like, okay, networking, networking. I know I used to say the same thing when I first started. I'm like, why is networking a big thing? And I realized that until when I hired my VA, my virtual assistant, and then I realized how powerful it is. And you just never know who needs your services. You just never know who you can help. You just never know. So those are the top two things that I did to help my business grow.
Oh, I love both of those, and I think they're so valuable. I recently, a few months back, hired my first virtual assistant, and I am so grateful because it was very overwhelming building multiple businesses. And now I'm like, okay, I can only focus on two right now to really grow those and have more impact in those two areas. But you're right, it can be really hard to jump the gun or pull the trigger kind of thing of okay, well, it's time to move forward. And if I want to grow this, I need extra help because it's difficult to delegate, especially if you're like me, type A, and want everything a certain way. Not everyone's like me, but being able to have now too, maximizing your time where your zone of genius is and letting other people do things that you could, of course, do, but It saves you time and energy in the long run, which will save you money in the long term.
Exactly.
And it's hard. It's hard to do at first, but once you do it, you're like, why didn't I do this sooner?
Yeah, that's literally what I said when I hired my VA, and I was like, oh my God, I should have done this sooner. And I get where people are coming from. They're nervous because they think the virtual assistant may, scam them, or they may take their ideas or give it to someone else. Like, you just never know, right? So I always tell people, always believe in your gut when you're having a conversation with the VA.
Yes, trust the gut. Couldn't agree more. And I love what you said about networking as well. I know that's been a big topic right now. It's something that's really on my heart because I think it's important when you're able to connect with people. You have no idea who you can help first and foremost, but also who
Exactly.
you can connect with the other person. It sounds like you're a super connector as well, but being able to connect people in the right way, it has nothing to maybe do with you, but you're able to facilitate a beautiful connection. And I mean, that's what I think it's about. That's why even I started this channel, so I could grow a community, so I could connect to people and connect others. But I think it's really important. It's not talked about enough. Like, it's talked about, but the depth of it, like, how do you go about it? Like, what we talked about earlier as well. And through all the tools that you use, what advice outside of obviously getting a VA and networking would you give somebody who's on this journey of entrepreneurship?
My advice is, don't be afraid to get yourself out there, even if you do not have the correct or right support system. I think that's the big one, because when you're new to the business, you tell everybody about it, and then people turn their back on you. And I see that 90% of the time with a lot of us who start the business. I always tell people, it's okay. You know why? Because maybe your service, which I won't say maybe, I'll say 100% will help someone who is in need. You just never know. I was surprised myself with my book, it's a great example, because I did not think I was going to become a best-selling author. I didn't. I just went with the flow, did not have high expectation. But once you set that bar low a little bit and give yourself the credit by starting your own business, because starting your own business is hard, but I'm giving you credit that you can do it, achieve your goal, anything you want to do.
I love this message because it is just giving yourself credit for even starting to wanting to take that jump and leap of faith into something you don't know or you haven't been exposed to, especially like you and I, we both went to school. We did like what we're supposed to do and then it
Exactly.
shifted gears. But I kind of want to go back to the beginning. What inspired you to create a business out of everything?
Well, very simple question. Have you ever met a disability person that starts their own business? Right? A lot of people I ask, they said no. And a lot of people I ask, they always say, very interesting because I met this so and so, but they never really got to know the person. That's one. And number two, the reason why I got started was because I just love helping people. And I don't know what it is. It's always in my heart. I love helping people so much. And people always think, oh, she's just doing the business because of her freedom or. And I think that's why a lot of people have that thing in their head. Like, oh, yeah, she started business. She's rich. No, it's not the reason why I started. It's because I knew I wanted to help so much more people. And second, it's also true with that. The business can get you farther in life that you don't even know, versus working 9 to 5. You're working 9 to 5, but are you really helping a lot of people? No. Versus me, I want to have my business because I want to help so many people around the world. And like, I would love to travel. I love doing that. So that's why I created this business, because I want to travel more, meet other people, help people across the world, not just from my own country.
Yes, it's just having that global impact, being able to really have that freedom to move the way you want through life versus, I mean, there are definitely people in 9 to 5s that are changing in their atmosphere and things like that, absolutely. But it looks really different when you are running the show yourself, and how like, there's a lot of the bumps in the roads that we have to go through in order to have that success. But you touched on something that's important, which is that personal development, being able to continue to grow and evolve. And I think that is something that the whole journey is about. You're always growing and learning, and one thing might work, and then the next thing you're like, oh, that failed. And then you have to like rework it or tweak things. Have you had those experiences where you like set out to do something and then it just like, you're like, okay, I'm gonna do a 180 of that?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it's just a part of that process. You have to learn to move with the things, the trends, or whatever it may be of what works best for you and your business. And I love the growth piece, because that is where you can grow. You can always be evolving and growing. Even if you're in a 9 to 5, there's books and podcasts and channels. But I think when you are running your own business, or even department, but running your own business, it stretches you in so many ways that you don't even see coming
Yeah.
in the best way possible. But I've been so enjoying this conversation. Where can people find you, find your services? We're gonna link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Definitely. Everybody can find me on my website, Kalina Empowerment Inc., KalinaEmpowerment.com, and Instagram, Deaf Queen Boss, and Hedgewall, Facebook, Kalina Powell, Hedgewall, LinkedIn, Kalina Powell. There you go.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Kalina, for coming on, just sharing your beautiful energy with us, everything we're doing to make such a difference all over the world, not just where you live, but everywhere else. And I can't wait to see what transpires for you over the next few years.
Thank you.
Thank you. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from today? I'm sure Kalina would love to see that comment, and we'll see you on the next episode.